Seated. It is my great pleasure and delight today to present our speaker for our preacher for the morning, our preacher pastor for the morning. It was in September of 1993. After the first Sunday, after being elected as pastor of Second Baptist Church, I received a phone call, and the man said, "This is Pastor Carl Johnson. I am the pastor of the Greater Corinth Baptist Church, and I call just to welcome you to the city and to invite you to join me for lunch. When can you go?" I said, "When can you pick me up?" So I can be there in 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, he was here. He was the first pastor to call and to extend a hand of friendship, a hand of pastoral advice to this newcomer to the city. He took me, and I never shall forget, to the Holiday Inn Select on 35. What started out as a 15-minute meeting ended up 3 hours later talking about ministry and how effective we could be if we served together. When he became the president of the Baptist Ministers Union, there was a discussion about women preachers. Carl, a man of integrity, a man of courage, said to the president and to that august body, "When Greater Corinth called me to be their pastor, they told me that they had women in ministry who were proclaimers of the gospel. Would that create a problem for me?" His answer was no. The Baptist Ministers Union did not embrace clergy women at that time. And he said to them, after they had asked him not to embrace them so publicly, he said, "I'll tell you what, men, I'm your secretary, and the day is my last day of being the secretary of this ministry. If you cannot accept what God has given me, I cannot accept leadership for those who do not embrace all that God has to offer." That is a man of character, a man of integrity, a man of honesty, and a proclaimer of the gospel without excuse. The name is the Reverend Dr. Carl Johnson, pastor emeritus. After 25, 30 years of being their pastor, they thought enough of his ministry to elect him as pastor emeritus. Would you help me welcome a man of God who stands on the promises of Christ the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. After the choir has rendered song of preparation, the next voice you shall hear will be that of the Reverend Dr. Carl Johnson. Somebody asked him how long he preached. And I said he'll preach as long as you don't say amen till you say amen. So Second Baptist, get ready. Say amen quickly.
Good morning, everybody. Let me first of all acknowledge the angel of the house, Pastor Robert Jimerson. his lovely wife, Sister Jackie. I acknowledge my wife, Minister Helen Marie Ellis Johnson. I acknowledge my fellow proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, male and female. I acknowledge the lay leadership of this congregational assembly, male and female. All are precious in God's sight. I want to thank the pastor for the privilege. This is an honor to be able to stand in the place where the Lord has planted him as overseer of the people of God here at Second Baptist Church. And I thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity just to preach. I am a retired pastor, and so a retired pastor welcomes any opportunity to preach. And so I am pleased to be here this morning sharing with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you just for the privilege of worship, for time to say to you, we thank you, we love you, and we trust you. Bless the people who have come today. Help me, help me, help me as a vessel of clay to present your word with clarity and with understanding, so that people may know that Jesus Christ is still Lord, that he yet reigns supreme. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to call your attention to the Gospel of St. John. St. John chapter 14. And I want to read verses 8 and 9. St. John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. I am reading from the New King James Expression. But here's what the Gospel says. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? This is the word of the Lord. For the people of the Lord, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk today from the subject, school days. School days. Pastor Jimison, when I was a young boy, and that's been quite a few years ago. I've been on this planet 75 years, so it was a while ago. There was a jingle that we sang as children, and I had forgotten some of the lyrics, so I had to go to my cellular device to get some understanding concerning the lyrics of this little jingle that we used to sing. School days. School days. Some of y'all as old as I am, so y'all know it too. Dear old golden rule days. Reading, writing, no, arithmetic. Taught to the tune of a hickory stick. You are my queen in calico. I was your bashful barefoot beau. And you wrote on my slate, I love you so, when we were a couple of kids. By the time Jesus makes the declaration that is cited in the focus text for today, he had been walking with the one who raised his concern approximately 3+ years. I'd like for you today, allow your sanctified imagination to just run wild. I'd like for you to imagine that Jesus is completing a 3-year study program and is near the time of his departure. Let's call it a seminary education packed with theological study. There would be labs, workshops, field trips, and periodic exams. Why don't we just call it school days? You going to pray with me? Following his baptism and demonic temptation experience, Jesus enrolled 12 student disciples in this 3-year course of seminary training. Now, those of you who've gone to college and received advanced degrees, you know that for the undergraduate program, sooner or later, you have to declare a major. A major discipline of study. Well, in this seminary experience, there was only one major. Everybody who would enroll in this seminary study program would become a fisher of men. Now, along the way, others were enrolled, even women and children, as student disciples. Orientation was conducted on a mountain where the professor shared a number of introductory lessons. He provided a syllabus for those who had enrolled and those who had come to hear him on that day. Now, I need for you to know that there were also some Pharisees and Sadducees on that mountain that day. And this is taken from Matthew chapter 5, identified with what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This was when Jesus provided his orientation for the crowd. There was a multitude of people out there. Now, you need to know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not come to enroll in this course of study. They came to audit the class. Okay. Now, in these introductory lessons, the professor shared a little bit about the Beatitudes. He talked about salt and light, loving one's enemies, which was a radical idea. He gave them a model for prayer. He talked about judging one another. He talked about worrying. He talked about building on sand and building on a rock. In Cana of Galilee, Jesus conducted a science class at a wedding reception. He and his student disciples had been invited to a wedding. And at the reception, his mother came to him and said to him, "They have run out of wine. They have no more wine." She didn't know what Jesus would do, But she suggested to the attendants, whatever he requests of you, just do it. You know, just do it. Just do it. Jesus said, just do it before Nike said, just do it. So he told them to fill up some barrels, containers with water, fill it to the brim. And all he did was dipped into one of those barrels and gave the contents to someone and requested that they take it to the overseer of the reception. When he tasted the wine, he said, you have saved the best for the last. Sometime later, the good doctor and his class went by the pool of Bethesda, where he treated a sick man who had been brought to the pool daily for 38 long years. Now, I've often wondered, why didn't the people who brought him to the pool for 38 years? I mean, every now and then, why didn't they just hang out with the man for a little while? Because the legend was that at a certain time, the angel would come from heaven and trouble the water of the pool at Bethesda. And whosoever entered the pool first would be cured of whatever disease or illness that person had. And Jesus showed up that day. And he asked this brother, do you want to be made well? Wilt thou be made whole, for you King James readers? He asked him, do you want to get well? The brother said, wait a minute. Sir, whenever the water is troubled, I have nobody to help me get into the pool. Someone always gets in before I get there. But Jesus said, do you want to get well? And ultimately, he must have said yes, because the Bible tells us that Jesus healed him and told him, pick up your cot, pick up your pallet, pick up your bed and walk. And the scripture said that he did just that. Now. If the guys who took him to the pool that day had showed up that evening to take him back home, he could have told them, your services are no longer needed. On their first field trip, it was getting late in the afternoon. And Jesus demonstrated his culinary skills in feeding 5,000 men besides women and children. Andrew, one of his disciples, found a lad in the crowd. And he had a little happy meal, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Barley loaves, little bitty barley loaves. And Jesus says, bring him to me. And they brought the young man to Jesus along with his little happy meal. And Jesus blessed that little happy meal. And the Bible tells us 5,000 men besides women and children were fed that day. There was a night class when the professor came walking on water to the disciples who were in a boat, and a storm was raging. They thought he was a ghost, but Jesus told them, it is I, it is I. It is I. It is I. One of his students, asked for permission to join him on the water. They thought he had lost his mind. And he came out of the boat. He got out of the boat. Can you imagine? Got out of the boat and started walking on the water. But he had to be saved ultimately because he began to sink. And Jesus saved him. Another lab session provided the student disciples and the professor with a Q&A session. Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. The disciples raised a question. Who sinned? Did this man sin? Did his parents sin that he was born blind? Jesus said to them, neither this man nor his parents' sin caused him to be born blind. Jesus said he was born blind so we could have this class discussion. You needed to know that I am a trained optometrist. I know a little bit about how the eye is supposed to work. You see, I made the eye. And I have some knowledge about ophthalmology. I gave sight to him because I know what the eye is supposed to do. The eye is supposed to see. One day the students showed up for class and the professor gave them a pop quiz. The exam had two questions. The first question was this: whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered him. Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. Still others say you are some prophet who has come back from the dead. The second question was more personal. Jesus says, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Don't you know that every now and then you have to get personal with your testimony? I mean, it's good to know that mama was saved. It's good to know that papa was saved. But every now and then, you ought to be able to tell somebody, I met Jesus for myself. Peter said, thou art Christos. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood, didn't give that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, gave you that information. The Pharisees provided Jesus with the opportunity to hold a class on sexual assault or sexual discrimination. It was a sex education class. They brought a woman to him whom they declared had been caught in the very act of committing adultery. I don't know where the brother was, but you know it does take two. Okay. The Bible said that Jesus wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote, and I really don't care. All I know is that when he stood up from writing on the ground, he made this declaration: let he who is without sin cast a stone at her. Now, Paul hadn't written Romans yet, but they had some intuitive knowledge. Yes. They realize that all have sinned.
Yes.
And come short of the glory of God. And the Bible said that they all went away. Every last one of them, from the eldest to the youngest, they dropped their rocks. And they went away. Jesus said to the woman, "Where are your accusers?" She looked around. She says, "I don't have any." Now this is what Jesus said. "Neither do I condemn you." So before you condemn the brother sitting next to you or the sister across the aisle from you, think. Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you." Condemnation is a self-imposed experience. You don't have to condemn folk. Just take care of your own life. Just take care of yourself. The only person who can condemn you is you. It's just that simple. Just that simple. Well, school is still in session. And there are still many lessons to learn. One day, at the age of 10 years, I enrolled in this school of education. I had some concerns about how much it would cost me to enroll in this institution of higher learning. I've been to school. I know what it costs to go to school. It's expensive. It's expensive. It's expensive. So I had some questions about how much it would cost me to enroll in this institution of higher learning. I was informed that everyone who enrolled in this school was on scholarship. 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 The tuition was paid at Calvary. Now there were times. There were times when I wanted to drop out of school. When I got lied on. I thought that was a good time.
To drop out.
When I was abused by people who didn't even know me. I thought that'd be a good time to drop out of school. When I didn't get promoted on that job that I've been working on for a while, I thought that would be a great time to drop out of school. When I didn't get the church that I candidated for and I was qualified for, but the people said no, I thought that was a good time to drop out of school. But I realized that God had never left me. In fact, he woke me up today. And he's given me new mercies every day of my life. And I could not drop out of school. I couldn't give up because God has not given up on me. Open enrollment still exists. And I don't know when you enrolled in this school. But if you've never enrolled in this school of education, today would be a good day for you to get enrolled in this school of education. One day, one of Jesus' initial 12 flunked out of school. He hung himself because he really, really never knew Jesus. He thought he knew the man he was following. But he didn't know who Jesus was. And the brother flunked. And he went out and hung himself. Peter had to be helped with anger management in the Garden of Gethsemane after he cut a man's ear off. He needed to know that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He didn't come here to cut off people's ears or to do damage to people's lives. But he came that we might have life.
Yes, sir.
And have it more abundantly.
I hear you.
The professor gave us a lesson.
Yes, sir.
In how we are to live without fear.
Yeah.
On Calvary, he laid down his life.
Yes, sir.
He made it quite clear how we ought to live and how we ought to die.
Yeah.
He laid his life down on an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
They nailed his hands.
Yeah.
They nailed his feet.
Yeah.
They raised the cross.
Yeah.
They dropped it in the ground.
Yeah.
But I heard him say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And let me tell you, Jesus died that Friday on Calvary's Hill. I said he died on Calvary's Hill. They buried him. But the Bible says that early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. I said, all power, all power in his hand. I don't know about you today, but I'm so glad that I enrolled one day. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus saved my soul. And one of these days, school will be out. Graduation day is almost here. When the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Graduation day is almost here. And if you are alive and remain on this earth, the Bible says that you shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you shall be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Commencement is about to begin. And I'm guaranteed a place in the kingdom. Well, when we get there, we're going to celebrate Jesus Christ, our Lord. And listen, he'll say, come here, Philip. Come here, disciples. I want to show you my Father sitting high upon the throne. I'll be so glad to see my Jesus. I'll be so glad to see my Lord. We will begin an eternal recess because school will be out. We won't be in session anymore. We're just going to shout and give God the praise. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll shout, we'll shout, we'll shout and sing victory. Get in school, y'all. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a preacher. What a storyteller. Did not our hearts burn within as a man of God spoke to us along the way? Carl, thank you. Thank you for proclaiming the word of God. Thank you for being our friend, our pastor today. Hallelujah. It's not too late. No matter how old you are, how young you are, it's not too late to enroll. Your tuition has already been paid. Your teacher is old and experienced, and he knows how to take you from pre-K all the way to the kingdom. All you have to do is get up out of your seat and say, "Here am I, sinful being that I am. I know you have the power to cleanse me. I'm willing to take the exam. The question is, who will go for us and whom shall I send?" You can answer, "Here am I. Send me. I'll go." The door to my Father's house stands wide open. We invite you to come. You may come by letter, by Christian experience, candidate for baptism. The church is standing. We invite you to come. Deacons, would you walk? Our deacons are walking. If you will come, they'll walk with you. People of God said amen. Please remain standing on your feet. We're just about ready to go. It's good to see Brother Daryl Bean. We love you, Daryl. Take care of that arm, man. We're praying for you. Take care of that arm. Mrs. Sane, Ella Sane, and Mrs. Smith. Their committee has prepared a wonderful meal for us to share. We invite every one of you. That's plenty. Ginger Pope. Thank you, Ginger. Ginger Pope and Ms. Scott and others have decorated a great way. If you don't want to eat, go look at the decorations. Just go look at the decorations. It's worthy of your visit. It's worthy of your eyesight. And so we invite you to come and to go with us. And so we ask Reverend Dr. Carl Johnson, pastor, preacher for the day. Come on, let me ask you a question. Didn't the preacher preach? Didn't the preacher preach? Dr. Johnson, I must admit, I never heard you preach like that before. You did tell the people you were retired. You're not ready to come out of retirement, are you? No. Thank you. We'll ask him to bless the food and give the benediction. The church's one foundation is Christ Jesus, her Lord. Church's one foundation.
Oh Lord, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our hearts have felt. We bless this day, for you are a holy God, sovereign in all your ways. We thank you that you love us unconditionally. We are your children, the sheep of your pasture. We've entered these gates with thanksgiving, and we've entered this house with praise. We are thankful unto you, and we bless your name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Lord, bless us now as we go to fellowship and to share food one with another. Bless those who have prepared it. May the food serve to nourish us, give us strength, do us no harm. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit abide with every last one of us until we all shall meet again. Let the church of God say, amen. Amen. Amen.